Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is Tall Paul, and this is the Ask Tall Paul Show. We're trying to bring in Joey. I'm not sure how to drop that call, though. My goodness. All this technology. Just a minute. Joey, are you there?
Hello, you've reached Joey D'Elia. Please leave me a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
This is hilarious, everybody. Sorry. Okay. I think we dropped that. Welcome. Today, we're on the Blog Talk Radio Show for Ask Tall Paul, and we're going to be talking about creating local garden groups for permaculture, and hopefully Joey can call in. The guest line is 347-838-9986. So Joey, if you can hear that, please call in, and we will bring you into the call. If everyone can wait a second here, I'm going to text Joey the number. This is hilarious. I'm at a hotel, and he's at the library, so neither of us are really prepared today with this different technology, different computers, and all this fun stuff. All right. So, last month, Joey and I and his wife, his family, had their first meeting. We created a group for Permaculture San Marcos. The website's permaculturesanmarcos.com. There's really nothing there yet, but by the time you listen to this, there should be a website at least started. And we're looking to form a local permaculture group, a garden group, for the city that we live in, which is San Marcos, California. And ideally, every city, every community out there in the world would have a local group where people could come to share information, to learn about permaculture, and also to help one another. Now, if you recall, we in permaculture talk about the three ethics. The first is care of the earth. The second is care of people, and the third is return of surplus. So when you are creating these different systems for permaculture, you know, one of something that you could do is create a local garden club or a permaculture group where you can learn how to do that, to put those three ethics into play. So what we did, I wasn't at the first meeting actually, but just yesterday we had a great meeting. It was our second meeting. There were 22 people, 22 adults, and actually several children came as well. And we were able to start share ideas about what the group would be. And the people went around the group and shared, you know, what their experience is. A lot of people had never even... they didn't know what permaculture was. They knew it was somehow... All right, here's Joey. Let's bring him in. Joey. Hello?
Did you unmute me? Hello?
Where have you been? Yes, Joey. Where have you been?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear
me?
Oh,
well, you know, I've been gathering food for... I can hear you.
I guess it's a severe delay.
Was just... Oh, really?
Very severe. Can you call in? Or...
Yeah, I'll call
I tried to call you. Can I try to call you again and you just pick up? It's the area... All right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna call your phone or...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah? Okay, hang on, please. Thank you. All right, everyone, we're going to try this again. Sorry. Severe delay on the line. Not going to help us, is it? I'm looking up Julie's number.
All right, here I am.
All right, can you hear me now?
I can hear you good.
Okay, is there a delay?
Not on my end. How about on your end?
I'm not sure. Well, we'll keep talking. Did you hear any part of what I was saying?
In the beginning
for
of
the show?
Yeah, I was listening
okay.
to it on before you tuned me in.
Great. You weren't logged in, so we couldn't talk to you. All right, everyone. So this is Joey D'Elia. He's our master permaculture person in Southern California, San Diego area. We have many other people who are permaculture experts, too. But Joey and I work together on a regular basis and have a great time enjoying our permaculture fun. So, Joey, tell us what inspired you to start these this local permaculture San Marcos group.
Well, the first inspiration would be Jeff Lawton, who is a big permaculture guy out of Australia, who works with the PRI, Permaculture Research Institute, and he started doing formalizing these groups in Australia and set up a bit of a model in a way to do it and make it easy to follow and encouraging to have the steps set up and go for that kind of group action within your community, and so we could all meet as a local garden club and talk about permaculture and gardening. So he was the inspiration, and one of the main reasons why I started doing it.
All right, and so what do you feel the main goals are of the group, or should be?
Well, I think the main goals should be getting your local, like your city, village, wherever you are, ideally get them involved and get a discussion going on with people you can look at, you know, face to face that live, you know, up the street, down the street, in the next, the city next to you. And that goal of seeing those people and going to their houses and helping is what I feel is one of the major goals of the group from my perspective, and sharing is another big goal, is to share the different things that we like about gardening or that we like about permaculture that's where I feel the most goal-orientated type of things are going on with the group, especially right now. I mean, we just did a whole group of people met that I've never met before that came, you know, to talk about gardening and are interested in gardening and satisfying those goals already. And we've already gone to some people's houses, and yes, it's great.
So I know you had mentioned to me that the one gal who had came to the first meeting, she kind of asked for some help. And tell us about what happened, you know, what she needed, and then when people arrived, what ended up happening.
Well, she wanted help in her garden because she had her partner had left, or they had split up, and she was needing extra hands in the garden. She had a big garden bed project going on, and for the season was getting a little late getting started for the spring season, and she asked us, she didn't really ask, she just said, oh, well, if you'd like to come by, you know, and grab some produce and seeds and stuff from the garden, and I do have a little project that I'm working on if anybody wants to do a hands-on project while they're here. And she was able to have us be there, and then she shared what she had in her garden, and then we decided to try to finish the whole garden project for that day, for one of her raised beds, and we did, and she was so excited and thankful, and that's part of the way that, and what was great about that, and that was the first, after the first meeting, we had, that was the plan, with your, the ideal goal, one of the goals Jeff Lawton set up was to do these things called perma blitzes, where you go in and you do some aspect of permaculture, some of the design aspects, and help people at their houses, and go in with a group of people, and go in and put many hands on the project and try to get it done. Just go for it, blitz that area. And just in that first meeting, after that first meeting, we had enough hands together already to go and help somebody within our group in our local area that we had never met before. And it was so cool. And since it would be our first meeting, we did the project, the PermaBlitz, with a group of people. We hadn't met each other, and none of us had met each other before. So everybody, just for the first meeting, we already attained, we already hit some of those marks for a goal, and that was great.
Yeah, I mean, so it's definitely a way to meet your neighbors, to build community, and get work done. And so it's neat. There's the old saying that says, many hands make light work. And I think you told me last week she said, if I had to do this by myself, it would have taken me, a week or a month to finish, whereas when everyone came together and pulled their resources, when we talk about return of surplus, one of those surpluses is time and energy, and the people came together to accomplish a goal, and it's going to benefit everybody on that day, because they went home with produce and seeds and new friends. So it's really a beautiful thing.
Well, yeah, it is, and it's encouraging to, go for the next meeting and put more time and effort into organizing the group and solidifying it and working towards making it better and doing more things, like working on a Facebook page, and we're working on making a nonprofit for that particular group. And so just having these nice things go on right away, it's really encouraging to keep up that work. And just the show of people that came to the second meeting was evidence enough. But I was prepared for just to be us, my family and a few of my friends, and that would have been, neat too. That wouldn't have been a problem at all, but people are interested. And that's why I think part of this show today, talking about these groups, is important. There's a need out there for these garden groups, and specifically talking about permaculture within these groups, and bringing maybe people that don't know about permaculture but like gardening and stuff and can be exposed to to permaculture in this way also and be able to share with, there's a lot of people that are just gardened that haven't heard of permaculture, but they're super good with plants and animals, and they have so much to share with people like me who are learning every day more and more. So it's just, that's what I look forward to as this group keeps going on and maturing and gathering momentum.
Well, and what was so neat about yesterday's yesterday's meeting, I thought it was great because, as you know, there were 22 adults in the group. As we were going around and introducing ourselves, and people were sharing their levels of experience and things that they're interested in, you know, it's not just about gardening. Where someone who had expertise and learned in wild foraging, you know, of finding food that is found in nature, weeds and different edibles. Several people were interested in that, and he's willing to, so we're talking about sharing, he wants to share his knowledge about that and teach us all. I'm personally very interested in that topic. Another person had an interest in using a solar water still to purify water, and actually it's also, I think, a form of capturing water, because where we live, we have a strong marine layer that comes in from the ocean, and there's quite a bit of dew. And when you create these systems that can harvest the water, you know, it might not be a lot of water, but when in our area, we don't really measure that as form of waterfall, like rainfall. But if you can harvest that dew, it is definitely, every little bit helps, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we had.
Okay, Joey's call has dropped, unfortunately, so I'm going to try to call him back again. This is a fun episode, everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, precipitation. They definitely don't measure it.
Joey, okay, so you realize you dropped there for a minute?
Yeah, the phone. Yeah, I realized that.
Okay, so we were talking about dew and precipitation, and you know, this is a form of water harvesting. And so other people knew about canning, dehydration, preserving food, and I mean, that form of sharing, just this sharing of knowledge, and then someone else brought a nice dessert to share. I brought tomatoes and peppers from my garden, and I think as time progresses, as everyone comes and they return their surplus, we're going to find that there's plenty for everyone. Like, there's going to be just an incredible wealth, and this is only our second meeting. So, and right now we're meeting once a month, and that might be good to get started. But I think as people begin to get involved, we could start having those perma blitzes where we can go over. Like one lady, she says she's a beginner. She grew up in Hawaii. Her story was beautiful. She said that, you know, as a child, she would leave her house in the morning and wouldn't return until it was dark. And she said she fed herself all day long living out in nature. She'd be in the forest and, you know, she knew what was edible, and, you know, she knew how to quench her thirst using the plants in the area. And it was just so neat talking to her. She said that she left Hawaii at the age 11, and now as an adult, she longs for that return to the earth, being close to nature. But she feels that she's kind of lost that connection. And she really was reaching out to the group and, you know, wanted to learn. And because, you know, she lives in California now. It's not the same as Hawaii, where there's an abundance of food. And so, you know, I offered to let her come to my house to see how I grow a lot of fruit trees. And I think that's kind of what she was interested in doing at her house. So that was really neat to hear.
Oh, yeah. And it was fun because what I was wondering was how many people were going to come back from the first group. And I think some people actually emailed and said they couldn't make it. And then I think I counted about five of us were from last time. And then there was 22 people in total. So we got to hear all new stories too and meet so many more new people. And some people have, and there's a diversity. And that's what's so fun about gardening. You get this amazing diversity, younger people, older people, and a real nice, even balance of male and female. And they had some people had acreage, you know, a couple acres or an acre. Some people had small suburban lots, and some people totally new, or like Paul said, some people trying to rekindle, you know, the old relationship with nature and their food, and some people just starting right at the beginning. And one lady in particular was really mostly concerned about how she wanted to get rid of her lawn because it cost too much money to water it. So that's where she's starting out. And she said, I don't know anything. And I just don't want to spend so much money on watering this lawn and want to figure out what are the things I could plant there. And then I think she mentioned that she thought it'd be neat or better if she could eat those things too. So it's just, you have all, you know, from people with stuff going on, people without anything as in food going on. And then we had like Paul was saying, there was a guy there, actually a friend of mine that I've known for a long time. He gets really excited about people's weeds that grow in their yard and about all the edible qualities and medicinal qualities of those weeds. And it's always, it's only the second group, but so many dynamics develop so fast. It's a really neat thing to see the patterns, and it's relative to permaculture, because in permaculture, when we, one of our jobs or disciplines is a better word, is to observe patterns, and especially those patterns that are in nature. So when we're designing or we're looking at a landscape or even a home site or these types of things, that we're thinking about nature and the patterns that exist in nature. But there was a pattern already developing with a human pattern within our group, where there's a topic that gets brought up, and that topic gets a lot of interest. And so then the group itself kind of leads into what we're going to do in between the time the group isn't meeting. So, for instance, the first group, I don't know if Paul might have mentioned this, but in the first group, we were all talking about each other's houses, and it was there was 13 people, so it was a smaller group, and everybody heard about each other's houses, and some people were just started going, well, I want to go to your house. Well, I want to go to your house. Well, okay, well, then that was the pattern. Then everybody pretty much wanted to go see some of these other people's houses, and then they wanted to share some ideas and get some ideas and these types of things. So immediately, my wife, who's really good at communicating and following through, she got everybody's email. She started a Google group, and then immediately that night went out and on the internet thing and got everybody to respond and set up some dates and times about going to a couple of people's houses. So immediately, you know, the meeting was on Thursday or on Tuesday, and then that weekend already we were going to somebody's house that we had never met, and looking at their yard, and what was fun about it is they live real close. So it's not like this insane commitment on top of all the other things, especially if you have families and kids like we do, of going and, you know, on some, going pretty far away or something. Oh, we went over, checked it out. One day, just my kids and I, we went to, two people's house in one day, right next to each other, so that was fun. And then, and now this group, the second group, the topic that really got a lot of interest was the weed. I mean, Paul's even interested in it. I'll start feeding him some and pretty soon here. And
I hope so.
Oh, no problem. I've got tons of weed at Tijuana Farm. Then you'll be living there soon, so you'll have plenty to eat.
Well, one thing
One
thing I wanted to say is, like, so you had one meeting, and then all of a sudden, everyone's coming together, and they're going to perfectly strangers' homes. And I'll tell you, where I live, or used to live, let's say my old condo, I lived there for 12 years. In 12 years, I knew my next-door neighbor, and he literally only came to our neighborhood 4 times a year. He lived in Las Vegas, and he'd fly in 4 times a year to play golf. I knew him. And then I knew 2 other people in my community of over 100 condos. Why? Because I think the culture in that community, that homeowners association in Carlsbad, not to name names, but you get home from work, you press the clicker for your garage door. It opens up, and you drive in, and the door closes behind. And that's it. People don't emerge from their homes, and they, you know, that's the culture, is your home alone. But with this, it's actually creating a new culture where people are they're coming together, and we're learning from one another, and it's immediate connection. And yes, everyone lived close, but not everyone, actually. One lady, I guess she went to both meetings. She drove all the way from Encinitas, which is about, what would you say, 15, 20 miles each way?
Yeah, it's about 15 minutes.
Depends upon your route.
Minutes.
All right. And we met at 6 p.m., which means she had to leave during rush hour. So she had made a major commitment in two different times, and I just think that that's incredible. And I think that happened because people are starving for community. They're also starving for information and knowledge, and this is a movement that we whoever's listening to this, if you can do it and just take the step to go to your library, and this is what Joey did and his wife. They created a flyer, they went to the library, and they said, we'd like to have a garden club meeting. Can we use one of your rooms? And the library was thrilled. They were absolutely thrilled to be able to host the group, and that's all it took to get it started. Now, I got involved, and I posted this, the different meetings. There's a website called meetup.com, meetup.com. And if you look in your community, there might be existing garden clubs, permaculture groups, sustainable. You know, you can look up these different keywords, sustainability or green. And just you can join those groups for free, and you can request or put in an event, and that's a way to get the word out. So I posted it in 4 or 5 different groups, and we had 22 people show up on the second meeting. So I think it's really exciting, and it's great we're doing it in San Marcos, but we really need to have it everywhere, because for someone to have to drive, you know, 20 to 30 miles round trip to come to get that information and to share in that community building, that's a little too far. That's not sustainable. We need to have local community groups.
Well, and then what's exciting about that in essence, too, is when Jeff Lawton started his first group, I think it was Permaculture Noosa in Australia, might have been in New South Wales part of the state, but he, people started coming from all over, and pretty soon the group had gotten to like 100 people or something, and they started to find out, hey, where are you from? Where'd you drive from? These people had started to drive from really far, so they started to encourage these people to, like Paul just did, to start a group in your area, because there's just, when we're talking about cities or villages or something, there's just so many people in that to really drive to a group is that's kind of far away. It can be a burden, like it is for her name's Rebecca, to drive. She was a little late even, because I mean it's a good little track when at that rush hour time. But for everybody else who lives in our little area here, they can just dip in and stop by as they're, you know, maybe going to the grocery store or something, make a little trip out of it. But I want to say something to the point of just when we have these groups, and what Paul was talking about, where we're going back to where the person everybody wanted to talk was really clicked on weeds and want to talk about it. My friend was super excited because he could share his interests, and everybody was paying attention to him and listening to him. He was very excited, and immediately after the class, it had kind of already seemed to be decided that that's what we want to do with, you know, in between time is learn about weeds and go to somebody's house. So after the group, my friend stayed, and another, the lady who decided that she wanted to host the meeting, or not the meeting, but host the little in-between thing that we like to do, because we all get so excited at the meeting, we want to keep it going. So it's, now we're going to go to her house, which isn't that far away. It's over in Vista. And, not that anybody out there actually, well, so anyways, it's over in Vista, and we're going to go there and look at her weeds and see whoever wants to come gets to come and share in that. And the thing that's interesting about it when we're talking about permaculture also is when we've touched on this in the other shows, is the three ethics of permaculture. And that's why I like this, is that I really enjoy it as a design science and as a way of creating a permanent culture, because just as Paul touched on the condo kind of culture and what was going on there, we're looking at, with the word permaculture, we're looking at something that helps develop and solidify a permanent culture. It's not just food, you know, and taking care of the earth. It's not just that. You have the second ethic when you start talking about people care. And people care isn't just feeding them food and giving them water. You know, people have some needs. Very social, can be very social creatures. And that part of the meeting is, you know, we're starting to look at taking care of people and one of the other aspects of it, and watching everybody's faces and them sharing and them everybody getting so excited, you know, and you know, we're not at a movie theater doing it, we're doing it live with each other. It is something that's beautiful and important for a really strong, loving culture, and something that I think is important in that discussion was back to the very beginning of our conversation here on the show, is the woman that we went to her house after the first meeting to help her, she was very adamant that she has a private life at her house, and she only wanted the people that she had met at the group to come to the house, to her house, and she's sensitive, and so that group provided that. It wasn't just, hey, anybody who wants to come to this person's house. She was able to have people come to her house that she had met and she enjoyed and invited us. And I think that's a key word that now that I say it and I think about it more as we talk about it and share this with all of you out there is she invited us. And when you invite somebody to your home, you know, that's an important thing, especially perfect strangers that you just met for 2 hours. And and it gives me a lot of hope. Something neat that I didn't even, and I have to tell you out there, everybody, that these aren't the things that I thought of and the feelings I kind of thought I would feel by starting the group. I thought, okay, well, we're going to talk about permaculture and talk about gardening. I really didn't, you know, there's so much more is coming out of the group than I thought about. And Paul was there telling his story, kind of like the stories that we've been telling, and everybody was listening and interested, and everybody's listening to everybody's story, and wanting to help. That's more than I thought would happen.
Well, and you know it's successful when the library staff has to kick you out because nobody wants to leave.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, it was a 2-hour meeting and people still wanted to hang out. They didn't want to leave because they were loving it so much and they, you know, it was really very positive experience. I mean, wouldn't you say that's like awesome?
Yeah.
And I know from my own experience, I mean, this was our first meeting for this group, but I've been a member of another group, which is, another permaculture group. And, you know, in the past year and a half that I've been involved in permaculture, each time I go, I meet someone new. But then when you start going to these events and going to people's homes, you keep seeing the same people over and over again. And these are people you look forward to seeing. You're like, oh, I wonder if June's going to be there. I wonder if Alden's going to be there, and Diego, and, you know, all these wonderful people that we know. And, you know, it just gets better and better and better every time. And each year we have a convergence at least one. We had one earlier, was that January or so? And, wow, we had, I think there were about 300 to 400 people at that convergence. And the stories were just incredible. So this is just going to grow. Speaking of convergences, next March, if you go to permaculturevoices.com, you can read about an incredible conference that's going to be put on in the Southern California area in Temecula, California. And it is absolutely something that if you have the resources to attend, you should make every effort if you can. Permaculture Voices is getting all the leaders within permaculture, people with a vision, not only vision, but people actually taking steps by their educators. They are getting down and dirty in the soil. Other people are authors, and, you know, this incredible wealth of speakers that are going to be there. And I highly recommend if you can, if you have a website or on Facebook, put a link to permaculturevoices.com, and that's going to help us spread the word of how we can create these sustainable systems to help create, you know, to foster those three ethics of care of the earth, care of people, and return of surplus.
Well said.
So whatever you can do in your own community, you can have your own convergence. But let's start with, if you can, put up a flyer at the library. Invite your friends to your house if you don't have a library. Just do something. Do something different that you haven't done to start building community. And then together, it makes the job a lot easier.
That is so true. And talking about what when we build this group, and now I'm thinking about one of the other goals, and this is getting, say we're you know, meetings into this, and we've, the nonprofit has been formed, and now there's a membership, and the group is actually, you know, becoming an entity in itself with the nonprofit status, with a membership, with a newsletter, with a website, and you're getting that kind of interest in it and that attendance. And what happens is you have something going on in your local city where a group of people that share the same mind, that share the same opinions about what should be done with maybe public space. Let's say, for instance, a community garden. Or there's going to be a new park being built. Well, can we put some fruit trees in it? Do they all have to be, you know, just regular landscape trees? Can we put some food in there? I think they're doing it up in Seattle. They're going to do it up there. I know LA has put some fruit. There's a park where they put some fruit trees in, but there's going to be a whole place up in Seattle, Washington now, where they're going to fully dedicate this park to growing edible food, trees and plants and such. So when you have this local group and you start to build that attendance and build that interest, and you have this legitimate type of organization, which is under the nonprofit, one of those goals that Paul asked about earlier is becoming a bit of a little force in your community through your enjoyment of gardening and food and permaculture, these types of things. You start to can move into the public sector and kind of, you know, fluff up your feathers a bit and get out there and kind of push some of the nice ideas that we can incorporate into our cities to make them more beautiful and more friendly, and talk to the local politicians or say, hey, why don't you come to one of our meetings? So you got a bunch, you know, you got a good turnout there. Hey, yeah, why don't you come in to one of our meetings? We're going to be talking about something that's going on in our city, like the proposal for the new park. Yeah, we're going to be talking about that at this meeting. You should come, Mr. Mayor or city planner, whoever's around, and listen to what we're going to be talking about. And then also you can gather your group, your club, your permaculture, whichever city you're in, village, and attend these public hearings or public meetings and, you know, show a bit of force. And that's one of those goals. It may be a far away goal or not, but it's something that is viable and very important if we're going to keep living in cities like they're set up right now. So, and even you can go anywhere with that. You can even go to programs where the community's, you know, reducing the amount of lawns and the different things that are going on in public spaces. And there's some real interesting stuff that can go on there. And actually, there's a lot of positive interaction that can go on with the you know, your public kind of government. Anyway,
well, the other thing, something that I also came out in the same aspect is that a couple of the women in the group are teachers, or were teachers somehow connected with the school systems, and they said all these schools had, or they have, quote unquote, gardens or programs for children for gardening, but none of them are being run, or they're abandoned because of resources are cut. And that was something I didn't have an awareness. So the group brought that awareness to me. And hearing that, it's like, my gosh, if these schools if they're just looking for volunteers, we can get volunteers to staff the programs. I mean, we don't need money to teach children how to grow food. That is definitely one of the things that I got into this for, is like when I first met you, Joey, and your three beautiful daughters, you know, at the time they were ages 3, 6, and 9, they knew more about permaculture and gardening than most adults, and probably more than I did. You know, they know about, you know, nitrogen fixers, and, you know, it's really incredible. But when I was a child, I didn't have that opportunity. I had zero exposure to gardening, to, you know, anything about growing your own food. And so when I hear this, that they actually have space to have these gardens, but the programs are not being staffed because of budget cuts and lack of resources, that is definitely something I know that we can make a difference and go to the local governments and say, listen, this is something that's important. We need to have that reinforced and supported.
And on that's a perfect topic in the sense of that when you form, how it ties in too with the group, when you form that nonprofit, then you can position yourself also in the group to get funds allocated to the nonprofit or to projects, because you're going to local businesses or you're going to the government or something. You're going with this very real organization. Not just you put a lot of time and effort into organizing it that way. There's stuff that goes on when you're running it. Now you're given a level of, hey, oh, these guys are more serious than just a bunch of people meeting. They're forming this nonprofit. They're moving. They're taking these steps forward and talking about those kids' gardens at their schools. Is I drive by one. The other day I took a walk. So there's a school right down the street from us, and I noticed because I was walking to the park. I hadn't got to walk by this one area before, but they have garden beds there, but they're defunct. There's nothing going on, and there's nothing growing in them. But somebody had got in there, like Paul was saying, that at one point the things were going on, and that's what we learned in the group from one of the teachers. She was in charge of that, but because of the budget cuts and everything, they weren't allotting time anymore. There just wasn't enough time in a day with all the students and all the periods and everything to for her to get out there and do the work necessary. So, and I know that Jeff and his crew over there, and it goes on to this day without Jeff. Jeff's gone out of the group. He's doing other things. All these groups live on totally without him, and they are doing that work in the public schools. They are working to build the gardens, volunteer basis, and helping out either whether building the gardens or just maintaining them. And even, I was thinking about this, even if the children, you can't physically teach the children, because let's say there's something going on in the class or whatever, some kind of thing with the school itself, but you can still grow there, and you grow these things, the children still see it. And they may just come over out of curiosity and look, and just at least they've now been familiar with that food, how food actually grows. It doesn't come out of a box, these types of things. Just that part. And if you, it's all about this hyper-local kind of bio region, your bioresiliency, your hyper-local kind of situation. That school's right down the street. I'm totally going to easily go and work at that school now that I've seen it. And
definitely.
It's right down the street. I can walk to it. So there's...
And there's no excuse, meaning like... you know what I mean? If it's there, and there's an old saying, where there's a will, there's a way. So if you see it and there's a need, you go for it, and it'll be accomplished. The other thing is, like, community gardens. Like, the city that I currently live in is enormous. It's huge. But there are very, very few community gardens. I think there's two at the most. And it's, like, incredible that there's not a space or very limited space for the community, because not everyone has a garden. Or, like, some people live in apartments and, you know, they might not have a place to have a, you know, to do their gardening. And I saw recently in one of the neighboring cities that a church dedicated part of its land, in fact, a significant part of its land, to a community garden, and they opened it up to everyone in the city. But it's, you know, it's the church is hosting that. So wherever you have influence, whether it be in your government or your church or your schools, where you work, we all have a circle of influence, your friends, your family. And I think just sharing your passion and talking about it, bringing an awareness. I mean, trust me, I never talked about this stuff before because I wasn't secure myself. I had an interest, but I didn't think I could do it. I had books. You know, my books look great, these pretty pictures and all that, but I really didn't think I could do it. And it wasn't until I tried that I really saw that I could do it. And it helped build my confidence in that. And now, you know, like I said many times before, I started with tomatoes, and I don't even like to eat tomatoes, but I know I can grow them. So I keep growing them because I'm very confident I can do it, and I like to share it with everyone else. So whatever you're inspired to do, there's a role for everyone. Some people want to, you know, get down there and plant trees. Other people just, you know, if you have a knack for marketing or communications, you have a following on the internet, you know, via Facebook or whatever means you might have, you know, sharing that passion, sharing the information, building community. This, you know, use of social media can be a very powerful thing.
You bet it. And it's just when you do form that, like, I'm going to say it again because I think it's an important thing within these garden groups is forming that nonprofit and putting that dedication into it, because when you do that also, when you're thinking about community gardens, you can approach your city and say, ask, hey, you guys got some land? Because they do, that they're not using. And you say, we would like it. We would like you to give it to us. Give it to the nonprofit so that we can do this community project. And you can get that land. So there's a whole... There's a method, and there's a way, and it's a positive one, and it brings the community together with people you've never met before, and you're starting to do something that's going to become permanent and something that your children can enjoy and older people can enjoy, and starting to work into different age groups, and there's a lot of potential there.
And I think the nonprofit is very important, that aspect, because it's, you know, no one owns it, and it's not for profit, and it's, you know, a group owns it. It's more than one person, and there's many leaders involved. And the other thing is that you might not be able to actually create the nonprofit immediately, but you can approach an existing nonprofit locally, you know, that's in your community, and you can work under their umbrella. So, like, they can sponsor your projects, and they can help you get started. And eventually, when you have your membership formed, then you can break off when you have the funding, et cetera. And, but that's another aspect, because I know that when we were looking into, you know, we've had other nonprofits approach us and say, you know, we love your ideas. We want to support the work that you're doing. And if you need our help, you can work under our umbrella because we believe in what you're doing.
That's right. That's right. Oh, now I want to go to the group again. I'm getting very excited already.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, right now they're scheduled for once a month. I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but.
No, once a month is good. I forgot, but in my excitement, but this Sunday we're already going to the woman's house, so it's already gonna go move forward in that direction and balance it out with some going outside stuff versus just sitting in the room and you know.
Yeah. Basically, meetings between meetings.
Yeah.
So, like, once a month is good to have the organizational meeting, come to learn who we are, welcome to new members, ideas for, you know, new projects, new classes, and then the rest of the month you can... Presentation. Right. And then the rest of the month, people can interact with each other and carry out those events and the different stuff. And then, so if anyone has ideas or if you have a successful group that you'd like to share with us, email me at asktallpaul@gmail.com, and we'd love to have you on our show. This show is not just Joey and I. You know, we're new. This is our third episode. We've had incredible response. We've had over the first episode over 24,000 listens, the second episode over 31,000 listens, and it's incredible. I mean, it's only been this is our third episode, and we've already reached out to over 50,000 people. So I think that's significant, and we need your help to share that, but we want to include you as well. So if you have any ideas for episodes, please let us know. And anyway, we have 2 minutes left, Joey. Any closing remarks?
Just have fun. Have fun and try to see the positive in the problems. See the solutions in the problems and just take that step forward. Because that's what it takes. You just have to step forward and look for those solutions. Because they're out there. It just takes some effort, some good old fashioned effort.
That's right. So the different websites. So for our new Permaculture San Marcos community garden group. The website is permaculturesanmarcos.com. Joey's website is fruittreeforest.com. And mine is asktallpaul.com. I'm also going to be creating a new website. There's a few things up there right now. And that is permaculturecentral.com. I'd like to have it as a hub for everything permaculture, a one-stop shop where you can see who the permaculture leaders are. If you have a local community group, I can have a link to your website, and we can do it by region. And, you know, right now it's just a couple blog posts, but I literally just started it yesterday. But I want it to grow, and I want to have more episodes on the Blog Talk Radio and, you know, videos. And I really have a lot of hope going forward that we're building a great future together, and this is so important. Please, everyone, please do your part, and let's do this together.
That's right.
All right, Joey, I want to thank you as usual. You're awesome, and I'm looking forward to our next episode next Thursday, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And other than that, eat your veggies.
Oh, boy.
Drink water. I don't know. I'm silly.
That's okay.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Say it again, Joey.
What's that? I'm here.
I said, say it again.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.